Well, the planning for this feast site has been in the plans since shortly after the feast of 2015. There's been quite a work in progress going on to first find and then to settle on an appropriate site. I've spent some time here. Mr. Mark Winter was down, and we did a lot of work back in March on the East Coast, looking at a number of venues and places. And the last one we looked at was right here. And when he saw it, I mean, we looked at a Marriott over there. What was it? Just off in the Intercoastal Waterway over there off of Stewart near Port St. Lucie. We looked at, what was the name of that facility? It was a Hilton over there at the West Palm Beach area. We looked at a courtyard by Marriott that had a very nice facility. Actually, we use it for combined services on the holy days for the two churches of Miami and West Palm Beach over there. But when he saw this and everything around here, he said, it reminds me, we started out in Utah many, many years ago, and we knew the story about Brigham Young came over the Wasatch Mountains, and he said, well, this is the place. And so that's what Mark Winter kind of said, too. I know you're probably not familiar with that, but that's what, in their history and everything, that's what they say. This was the place. You know, that's, plans have certainly continued since that time. And details of what we can do and what we want to do have continued on. But I'd like to carry that a little bit further. This has been going on now for a year. In fact, when the feast is over, we're going to have meetings the first week of December, planning everything for the following feast in the following year. And it is amazing. This is my first time to be a feast coordinator and first feast here and everything. It's been you're always thinking, what have you overlooked or what have you forgotten as you're doing it? There's so many, many details that you have to continue to think about. I do want to follow up on what Dennis here was saying, that everyone who did all of this work here, I mean, if you don't have the people behind you to give the support to bring it to all about, you're not going to have as, you'll have it, but you won't have it as nice as I think we see that it is here. And it truly is beautiful, all these flowers around me. I've never been surrounded by so many flowers as we have here. But I'd like to carry this a little bit further tonight. You know, likewise, all of you have been, of course, thinking and planning over the last year as to where you want to keep the feast this year. And where you want to stay, and what do you want to do after you arrive here during the feast? I had a person ask me, what are some of the activities planned here during this feast? And I said, take a look at the brochure tonight, and then I'll talk about it tomorrow. And please do take the time to read that. You know, the feast takes a great deal of planning by the church and by each one of you as well throughout the year in planning for it. But let's ask another question. How about God? Has God made plans in preparation for this feast? The answer is yes, he has. So what is it, the plan? And when did he begin to prepare for this feast? When did God prepare? We began last year, and we've been working all through the year. So in the time I have here tonight, let's look tonight at the plan behind the feast, the plan behind this feast. You know, God's plan did not begin last year as our plans did. It began in the beginning. But when was the beginning, you might ask? Well, we go to John chapter 3. Let's take a look at the scripture. You're probably familiar with it here, John 3, verses 1 through 3. Mr. Armstrong used to read this scripture a lot of times, and he always would say that, look, this is the beginning, and it's further back and older than Genesis 1:1. And he was right. Because here it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Now, a lot has been said here. God does not have a beginning, right? So when is this beginning? Well, since he and Jesus Christ never had a beginning, well, the answer would have to be in verse 3. At the time that all things were made through him and without him, that is Christ, nothing was made that was made. Now we know in Colossians chapter 1 and in verse 16, Paul said that Jesus Christ created all things visible and invisible. He created the angels and he created matter, and he created all physical life as well. He did it. God the Father did it in Ephesians 3, verse 9. It says, through Jesus Christ, through him he did this. So before the beginning, he was the Word. He dwelt with God the Father, and he was God, as we all understand. And it certainly includes the time that he created the angels, then he created matter, then physical life. It also includes the creation of time. Did you ever think about that? Time has a beginning. Did you know that? That's why it's difficult for people to comprehend and understand how God can be eternal, no beginning, no end, just always, as the one who became Christ said to Moses, I am that I am. I'm the reality, I just always have been. Well, that's hard to comprehend. Time has a beginning. There's always a start to time. You can go back and there is a beginning. When scientists, cosmologists look at the universe, Einstein saw this and had to finally come to admit it, that the universe is expanding. Everything is expanding, and that means it had a beginning. There was a point where it wasn't, and then suddenly something happened, and it's been ever expanding since. It's growing. It's continuing. It's beyond my mind to comprehend. It is so huge and so big. But nevertheless, it's a fact, and that's what it is. There was a time when it did not exist. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says, created all things visible and invisible. And that is the beginning. Now, how many years ago was that? See, with God, it means nothing. He's in eternity. But with us, it's an incredible thing that it all began in the beginning. Was it millions? Was it billions of years? Does it matter to God? It's hard for our mind to actually comprehend it. We're physical. We're subject to time. But he is not. The plan from the beginning, leading up to this feast, the plan of the beginning of creation had to do with the purpose for creating man. And that's what it was all about. Notice in Ephesians chapter 1, God has had an incredible plan here, and it centers around man. In Ephesians chapter 1, and in verse 4, Ephesians 1 and in verse 4, now, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Yes, that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, the word world there in the Greek is cosmos, K-O-S-M-O-S. Cosmos meant a, quote, a harmonious arrangement or order. It came to, quote, denote the world or the universe as that which is divinely arranged. Get that from Vine's dictionary. The plan for man, which includes the plan behind this feast, existed before the creation of the universe. What we're seeing as we go through these scriptures here tonight, leading up to the plan for this feast, it was planned before anything was created. It wasn't something after the creation had been started. Well, let's see now. I think we should, let's have a Sabbath. Or how about seven Sabbath days? Like, you know, as we're going along, a work in progress as we would look at things, that wasn't the way it was with God. God knew and planned from the beginning. And he had this all in mind. Another scripture is Hebrews chapter 1. Let's take a look at this. This plan and this for this feast goes back a long, long time. And God did have this in mind before Jesus Christ began to create. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds. Now, this word for worlds here is not cosmos. This word is eon. aeons. Now, there is no word for time in the Greek language. This word means ages. You probably have a center margin that would tell you that. And but whether it's ages means time. And that's how we translate it today. And a number of scripture I'll turn to here in just a little bit will translate eon as time. But it doesn't here. Now, one of the reasons, let me just explain here what it, why it doesn't in the New King James, which I just read from. Now, I mentioned that worlds comes from the Greek word eons, and it means ages. Now, some translations, including the one I just read, interpret this word in this verse to mean that the universe, or to translate it as universe, because of the verb made. Because of the verb made. So it becomes a translation, or a an interpretation, really, is what it is. But Christ created the universe, and he created and recreated in different ages the earth. And we can see that in geology and so forth, that he recreated many, many times. There was a purpose and reason in all that he did. And why it, there were ages, there were life forms that do, that we always see as our fossils today. It's kind of amazing when we look at some of those things. And were they there were hundreds of millions of years ago? I don't know. I won't argue over that because I can't one way or the other. I know that with God, time means nothing. But I also know that the Bible shows that it was preparing for man, and also part of that preparation is for this feast and what it pictures. Let's go over here to 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, and now we see the word here translated as time, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9, who has saved us, and he has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Well, when did time begin? Time began when Jesus Christ, John 1 verse 3, created all that was created. That's when time began. There wasn't time before that. God doesn't keep, how do we take, we measure time by what? The spinning of the earth, the moon going around the earth and the moon going around the sun, right? We measure time. Is that how God keeps time? Absolutely not. What is time in the spirit world? It means something to us. Well, what if you took SpaceX and went out there a long distance if you could, and you took enough along so that you could survive, enough atmosphere in SpaceX and all of that, how would you tell time out there? If you get beyond our, I don't know what you call it, solar system, or if you get beyond our planets, how you going to tell time? Well, somebody from Earth is going to have to radio you and tell you what time it is on Earth. And then will it mean anything to you out there? Probably not. So time had a beginning. It really did. There was a purpose. Did you notice what else it said here? But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ. God has a purpose. He sure does. He has had an incredible purpose. And this feast is a very important part of that purpose, as we'll come, as we're moving along here and we'll come to see. Let's go now to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. And we'll take a look here at this portion of it. Titus 1. And in, well, verse 1 and 2, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. If he promised it before time began, and he cannot lie, and he, well, we all know that, then it's been in the works since before Jesus Christ created time and created everything that was created. Think about this for a minute. Where are we today in relation to that plan which, and that purpose, which was being put together before there was any creation. What an incredible thing God is doing. And man is his most supreme creation. We can see that here if we turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 19 and 20. 1 Peter 1, 19 and 20. Well, verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, of course, this goes back to Exodus chapter 12, verse 5, the first Passover. And, of course, we know that that is Jesus Christ and always referred to symbolically as the lamb without blemish. Now look at verse 20. He indeed was foreordained or predestined before when? The foundation of the cosmos, which he created, right? Everything created was created by Christ. So he was foreordained before there was any creation, visible or invisible. And what was he foreordained for? To be what? The perfect sacrifice. For what? For who? The angels? No. For you and me. For man. He was created to be the perfect sacrifice for man. Way before the time that he actually created anything. So when we look at something like this, to me, this is a phenomenal thing. And when you realize that the scripture you've probably heard from childhood on up, John chapter 3, verse 16. And well, let's take a look at that. John 3, 16. And also I want to look at verse 17 and following that. when you look at it in the context of how long it has been and what God has been doing, he has had this in the works. It is a plan. There is a purpose that he has here. And it has to do with you and me. It's an incredible thing that he is wanting to carry out. Well, anyhow, John 3 and verse 16 and 17. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Well, that was planned before anything was created. That's what Peter just said. What an incredible thing that God has had in mind all along, and that he has set aside in this plan these holy days, the Sabbath. Of course, he has sent his Son here to this earth. He gave his only begotten Son. And if we look, one last scripture here I want to cover tonight, and that is Hebrews 2 and in verse 10, and where he says here, for it was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons to glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. God intended before Jesus Christ created anything and before he created time, that is time for physical life, matter, and so on. Outside of that, when you get into the spirit world, you don't need time. But it is something that because everything physical runs down. It has a beginning and it runs down. And I think we all understand that. What an incredible thing. He had set aside Jesus Christ for ordaining him to be the perfect sacrifice for man who he would make physical, knowing he would need a sacrifice. And why? Because as it says here, I want to create and recreate myself. And I want to bring many sons to glory through the one who is foreordained before the foundation of the cosmos. And through him who is on my right-hand side, I will bring it about. God is selfless in his love and wants to share and wants to give. We could use the expression, he's got all the time in the world. Time means nothing in the spirit world. It means everything, I guess, to us, doesn't it? And sometimes we have trouble. We can conflict things in our mind trying to make sense of certain things when we want to bring time into it. because time does have a beginning. So here we are, after all this time, at the end of the ages. Jesus Christ has come 2,000 years ago and has been fulfilled that sacrifice. What an incredible thing. It is almost surreal that we have come from before time began to the birth of the kingdom and the birth of the sons of God. We are that close after billions, maybe millions at least, of years that have gone by in the making of this plan and coming to this day. Brethren, for the next 8 days, we will have the rest of God's plan taught and explained to us. It has been in the making since before time began. You don't want to miss it. It's very exciting, and it's an incredible thing. So let's go back to our rooms, get a good night's rest, and come tomorrow to begin to hear the rest of the plan.